Father. They both turned to look at their respective parents, who were happily reminiscing about their first meeting at a London ball. The younger Miss Chingford stifled a yawn and looked longingly at the door as the rector leaned over to whisper in her mother's ear. "Perhaps you and Dorothea would like to see your room. We have put you next door to your mother," Lucy said loudly. Her father waved at her to proceed, keeping Mrs. Chingford chatting as Lucy thanked Mr. Fairfax for bringing the Chingfords down from the manor house. He departed soon afterward, and she led the two ladies up the stairs. "We shall dine at 6. If you need anything, please ring the bell." Lucy drew the curtains wide to let the sunlight illuminate the guest bedroom. "Your boxes have already been brought up, so I shall leave you to settle in."
"Thank you."
Miss Chingford surveyed the charming guest room as though she'd been escorted to a cell in a debtor's prison. "I'm sure we will be very comfortable in here." Lucy headed for the door. "I'll send Betty up right away to help you unpack." She escaped down the stairs and went into the kitchen, where Betty and cook were sharing a pot of tea at the table. With a sigh, she sat down and helped herself as well. "Our guests have arrived. Betty, will you go up and help them unpack? And, Mrs. Fielding, we will have 3 extra for dinner tonight."
"The rector already informed me of that, Miss Harrington."
The glum reply wasn't a surprise. Mrs. Fielding rarely liked anything Lucy said to her, preferring instead to receive her orders directly from the rector before she was willing to even consider carrying them out. Lucy took another fortifying gulp of the strong tea. "I'll go and see if Mrs. Chingford is ready to be taken up to her room. My father is in danger of monopolizing her attention."
"Is he now?"
There was an ominous note in the cook's voice, which Lucy couldn't help but secretly revel in.
"Yes, apparently they are old friends. He seems very taken with her."
Mrs. Fielding snorted and turned her attention to the stove, banging the pots and pans around. If Mrs. Chingford wasn't careful, she might find herself being poisoned by the jealous cook, who considered the rector her personal property. The thought of poison reminded Lucy of her recent sojourn in London, and she shuddered. She returned to the drawing room, where her father most uncharacteristically lingered with Mrs. Chingford.
"Your daughters are both settled in, Mrs. Chingford, and George awaits you in your study, Father. He says you are meant to be reviewing the Sunday sermon with him."
Her father sighed and then bent to kiss Mrs. Chingford's hand in a most dashing way.
"Duty calls. I look forward to seeing you at the dinner table this evening, ma'am."
Mrs. Chingford positively bridled.
"I look forward to it, sir."
Lucy waited until her father disappeared into his study to consult with his new curate, and then turned back to Mrs. Chingford, whose smile had vanished. She was still a handsome woman with a classic profile her daughter had inherited. She had risen from her chair and appeared to be studying the china on the mantelpiece.
"Is this a portrait of your late mother, Miss Harrington?"
"Indeed it is." Lucy paused to admire her mother's serene smile. "It was painted just before she had the twins." Mrs. Chingford angled her head to one side and clicked her tongue.
"She looks frail. I'm not surprised she didn't survive the birth."
"My mother was never an invalid, Mrs. Chingford. Her death was quite unexpected." Lucy tried to sound calm.
"How old are the twins now?"
8. They are at school.
Where they should be."
Mrs. Chingford gave a mock shudder.
"I am so glad I had girls. They are far more biddable."
"I'm sure they are.
Would you like me to take you up to your bedchamber?"
Lucy started walking simply to get Mrs. Chingford away from the portrait. "The twins were certainly boisterous at times, but you brought them up?"
"Naturally."
Lucy continued to climb the stairs and spoke over her shoulder. "As the eldest daughter of the family, my father expected me to do my duty, and it was no hardship. They are quite delightful." Which wasn't true, but something in Mrs. Chingford's tone was beginning to annoy Lucy.